So we open up now to the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah records a machlokes Tanoim about lo yar below noshim. And according to one opinion, everybody agrees that the maximum number of wives that he can marry is 18. That's lesman de polig. But the question is, how much of a leniency do we allow the melech in terms of which quality and what type of a woman should he be marrying? The Torah in the parasha of Melech, that's in Sefer Dvarim in Parshas Shoftim, when it says lo yar b'lo noshim, it says v'lo yosur levavo. And the Torah here is, in a very unusual and exceptional way, is revealing what the reason, the underlying reason for the mitzvah is, in this case for the lotah. So the Torah doesn't usually do that. And the Torah got burnt, so to speak, because this is what's going to mess up Shlomo HaMelech. But the Torah says that the reason why the Melech is enjoined for marrying too many women is because lo yosur levavo, because they will cause him to veer off the right path. And we have now a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is going to disqualify, so to speak, or ignore those words, lo yosur es levavo, as far as halacha is concerned, meaning you can say that philosophically the Torah is worried about hasaras halev. That's a philosophy idea, but that's not a halachic idea. It has no bearing on this prohibition. The Torah says that he is not allowed to have a ribui noshim, and ribui noshim means more than 18. So under no circumstances will the Torah allow and be flexible about marrying more than 18 wives. That's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Marbalo noshim, he's allowed to marry many women as long as these women fit into a very good category. In other words, they have a proven record that they are tzidkonios, and they fit into a category which we could call Avigail. That's the Avigail category. So let's understand that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the extra words lo yosur es levavo are not just philosophical answers to the question why the Torah prohibited a king from marrying too many wives, but rather it has halachic significance. The Torah is actually describing and categorizing those women that he's not allowed to marry too many of them. What is that category? That category is described as mesiros es libo, which means, you know, if you have a bunch of ladies and you don't know, you know, they're not proven tzidkonios, they don't have a proven record of being like Avigail, she becomes the paradigm of a kshera and a tzadekis. If we, barring that case of Avigail, all the other ladies fit into one of two categories. Either they're proven marshos, we know that they're evil women. Yesterday we mentioned one of them, if you remember, that was Izebel, who's married to Achav. Or they fit into this unknown category, where they have no proven record. You know, they have inclinations towards good, inclinations towards evil. They're not on the level of Avigail. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Marvelo Noshim, if he's marrying Avigail women, he can marry as many as he wants. The sky's the limit. However, if he's marrying women that fit into the category of, we're not sure what, you know, where they belong, their record is unknown, undetermined, then the Torah says lo yar b'lo noshim. Why? Because with so many women who are fluctuating and floundering back and forth between evil and good, he's going to end up in a situation of hasara salev. You know, maybe the volume of women, or maybe statistically, it's probable that there's going to be one rotten apple in the bunch. Reb Shimon says no. He's not allowed to marry 18 wives under any circumstance. So let's say you took Abigail and you cloned her 18 times over. That would be the maximum number of wives you could take. If you have a 19th Abigail, even though she has a record of being a tzaddikas, it doesn't matter. He's not allowed to marry. Because the Torah says, Lo yar melo noshim. That's the sheet of whom, everybody? Rav Shimon. We got to get the names here. Otherwise, we're in trouble. So Rav Yehuda says, well, let's take Lo yosir es levavo, and we'll define the Isur ribui noshim in the light of Lo yosir es levavo. But if she fits into a category of Avigail, and there's no chashash, there's no reason to worry about of Yosser as Levavo, then he can marry as many women as he wants. On the other extreme, you have a case of a woman who has a record as being a marshas. In that case, no one allows the king to marry her. Not Rabbi Shimon, and not Rabbi Yehuda. So that's what we have over here. Now, all this makes sense in light of the interpretation of the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah you'll see quoted here on your page, Shin Yud Aleph, on the bottom right, the last two lines. So let's go through this inside and see if we can determine that the text of the Yad Ramah supports our interpretation. The Yad Ramah writes the following: that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are coming to interpret the Tanakhama. The opening Tana of our Mishnah, who's anonymous, simply says, Lo yar v'lo noshim ela ad shmonasri, up till 18. And Rabbi Yehuda qualifies that. He says that this limitation, this cap of 18, only applies to these unknown women, if you follow what I mean. But to the known Avigail women, there is no cap. And Rav Shimon says, no, the Tanakhama said, Lo yar v'lo noshim, without any exception, under all circumstances, the maximum number is 18, and let's not even dream about a 19th number. V'anan svirle, the Tanakhama lo dorish taima dekro. According to Rav Shimon, the Tanakhama never accepted taima dekro, jashin and taima dekro. You want to underline those three words, right? It means that there's a principle which Rabbi Yehuda accepted and Rabbi Shimon rejected, called Darshin and Taima Dekra, that when we have reason to believe that the reason for the prohibition is X, we can interpret the prohibition and restrict it in the light of X. When X applies, we apply the prohibition, but if it's not X, then we don't apply the prohibition. So it means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, as we said before, Darshin in time of the Krod says Lo yar v'lo noshim, because Lo yosir es levavo, and it's only in a case where we're afraid of Lo yosir es levavo does this ribui noshim apply. Rav Shimon, on the other hand, holds Lo Darshin in time of the Krod, and therefore when the pasuk says Lo yar v'lo noshim, that's an absolute rule. Under all circumstances is the melech enjoined from ribui noshim. And therefore, the maximum number is Yud Ches. Afilu muchzokus bekashas kavigayel. Even if he has 18 wives that are the greatest saintly wives, women on the face of the earth, he cannot take a 19th wife because he's not allowed to marry a 19th wife. Period. Forget it. Forget about Darshin in time of the Krah. Now, if you have a woman who's muchzekes berishus, she has a well-known record, she has a reputation of being a marshas, she's an evil woman, then afilu achas lo yisa, even one of such a kind, he's not allowed to marry. And Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says the Yad Ramah, is allowing you to marry, the king to marry, more than 18 wives if they're all in the status of, or if they can be described as avigayos, the muchzokos bekashrus. Lo osra Torah, where does ribui noshim apply, and the maximum is 18, is noshim she'eno muchzokus lo bekashrus v'lo berishus. Right, that was the unknown middle category. And here the Yad Ramah adds a few words, lefi, shalefi rubon yosir es levavo. Because of the massive number here, the high volume, you're already up to the number 18, is then we have to worry about Yasser Es Levavo, because these women are unknown. So if you have 18 women unknown, you can bet your bottom dollar that one is going to be a marshas, is going to be a rotten apple. Or alternatively, if they all gang together against him, they may be able to sway his heart. And Rav Shimon says that afilu achas she'ena muchzekes bekashrus yesh lochus shema tosus levavo. Oh, here the Yad Ramah adds a very important point, which departs from what we said before. And he adds the following point, that according to Rav Shimon, the melech is only allowed to marry a woman who's muchzekes bekashrus. And even if she's muchzekes bekashrus and he's allowed to marry her, the maximum is 18. A woman who's unknown, he has to shy away from marrying her. He's not allowed to marry her. So now it comes out, according to the Yad Ramah, there's a double machlokas between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. The first machlokas is going to be in the case of ksheros, in the case of Avigail's. So we cloned Avigail 18 times, and now we want to marry another, the king wants to marry another Avigail, number 19. Rabbi Yehuda says it's allowed. He can marry another 1,000 women who are Avigail's, and Rabbi Shimon says it's prohibited. The Torah absolutely prohibits 18. Now you have another machlokas, another nafkamina between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, and that's going to be in the case of a woman who's not here, not there. We say in Yiddish, nishtaher, nishtahid. She doesn't have a cheskas kashrus, she doesn't have a cheskas rashas. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Torah will allow him to marry such a woman, but only up to the number 18 and not beyond. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, will say that if she's eda muchzakas bekashrus, he's not allowed to marry her, because the Torah wanted to guarantee that he marry a woman who's muchzekes bekashrus. Now keep in mind that the second nafkamina is really a result of the first nafkamina. What do I mean? That since Rabbi Shimon says that under no circumstances whatsoever, even if they're all avigails, the Torah says you're not allowed to marry more than 18 wives, therefore Rabbi Shimon, when he gets to that case where he's not allowed to marry even one woman, he's going to describe her as someone who falls shy one level below Avigail, which means she's in that middle level where we don't know one way or the other. She doesn't have a cheskas kashrus. However, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that in the case of Avigail, he can marry as many women as he wants, so when the Torah speaks about 18, it's talking about this middle category of a woman who we don't know what the nature or the character of this woman is. And on that case, in that situation, that's in that profile, he can marry 18, but not beyond 18. Go ahead.
I may have missed it in the previous year. Is there any discussion of the significance of number 18?
Well, the Gemara is going to try to derive the number 18 from Nasan HaNavi. Let's explain the background. I don't know if this will answer your question, but just to know from whence, you know, do we derive the number 18. David HaMelech gets married to 6 women. And this you'll see, if we could all find this Gemara on the same Amud, Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, Hani Shmona Esrei Minolon. Now, where is that on the page? It's the last of the skinny lines on the page, if you have the classic printing of the Vilna Shas. You see where it says Hani Shmona Esrei Minolon?
Yes.
Okay. So the Gemara says the following, that the Pasuk in Shmuel tells us that David was married to 6 wives. He was married to Achinoam, he was married to Avigail, he was married to Macha, to Chagis, to Avital, to Eglah. The Gemara is going to identify Eglah as Michal Bashol. So these are the 6 wives that David married. I meant to say that David married.
Yeah, in Hebron.
Excellent, excellent. You're already excellent, a step ahead of me. Right. So Nosan HaNavi says him, Ima'at l'cha noshim elu, if this is not enough for you, then osifu l'cha, I'll permit you to marry Kahena v'Kahena, which means Kahena another 6, the Kohen and even another 6. And the total number is 18. Now, we're going to have a problem with this, because the pasuk indicates that David married not just these six women, but many other women. And the pasuk in Shmuel says, which we're going to see later on in the Gemara here on the same Amud, Vayikach David od pilagshim v'noshim b'Yerushalayim. And the Gemara is going to interpret that no, it wasn't that he married 18 wives and then he married more wives, but rather he married six wives. Nasan gave him the okay to marry another 12 wives. And that's what the pasuk means when he says, when it says that David took pilagshim v'noshim. All that, the Gemara says, is lemiluye ad shmonasre, to make up the difference, the increment between 6 and 18. So he married another 12 wives. Some of them were noshim, some of them were pilagshim. And we're going to see soon in the Gemara what's the difference between noshim and pilagshim. But just before we do that, if you take a look, he writes after the brackets here on page Shin Yud Aleph, V'hine Shlomo Amelch Nosa Noshim Shalo Hayu Muchzokos Bekashrus. It means that if Shlomo Amelch married women who were not fit for him, according to Rav Shimon at least, since they didn't have a record of Kashrus, he already violated on each single marriage this Isur of Lo Yarba Noshim. Meaning, this woman was simply prohibited to him because she didn't have a cheskes kashrus. Which is really fascinating, because we always assume that Shlomo Melech was taken to task because he married too many women. And then he writes, V'chein l'Rabbi Shimon u'l'tanakama osu l'haros hafilu mukzokas b'kashrus migzeres hakosuv v'lo mitam lo yosur. In other words, irrelevant to Lo Yasur, there's a separate Isur, even if they're Mukzokas Pekashus, of not adding too many wives. So therefore, Eich Omar Shlomo Ani Arbe V'lo Asur. How did Shlomo come to the conclusion that if the reasoning for this Isur is Lo Yasur, I'm above that reason, and therefore I'm going to marry as many women as I desire? Well, wait a second, that doesn't make sense according to Rav Shimon, who interprets the Tanakhama as holding that there's a Gzeres HaKosuv that applies in an absolute way, irrelevant to Lo Yosir Noshim, Lo Yosir Levavo, of marrying too many wives. Is Bal Korcha, we have no choice but to say the Shlomo Sovar Kir Rav Yehuda, that Darshin in time of the Krah, and the whole Easter is only because of Lo Yosir Levavo, and therefore that only applies to women she'eino mukzakus lefi ro'o, right? That eino mukzakus, we don't know where they are, and the Torah says if you don't know where they are, where they're holding religiously in terms of piety, then don't marry more than 18 of them. Why? Because then for sure with 18 wives, you know, somebody's going to cause you a hasara salev. Comes along Shlomo Melech and he declares, I'll marry as many wives as I want to, as my heart desires, and I won't be subject to Asar Saleh. The Mukzachus Kashrus, according to the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, if you have a woman like Avigail, and there's no Chashash of Asar Salevo, he's allowed to marry as many women as he wants. Lachain, perhaps we can interpret that Somach al Chachmoso, Shehu Yarbe, Velo Yochu Shiyosar Slevovo. It means the following, that if we assume that Shlomo Melech accepted the view of Rabbi Yehuda, then it works out very smoothly, because then Shlomo Melech says the following. He says that as far as a woman who's Mukzekes Bekashrus is concerned, the Torah allows me, according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and Shlomo accepts, to marry as many women as I want. As far as the Lo Yosir Levavo Isur, which applies to Ribui Noshim, if we don't know if they're this way or that way, so Shlomo Melech says, you know what? I'm above the law. I don't have to worry about Asara Salev. However, we're still stuck with the following problem. Let's say he marries a woman who's Muchzeches Birishos. In that case, then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that a Melech is enjoined from marrying such a woman. So we have to assume that Shlomo HaMelech married women who fit into that middle category of Lo Hayu Mukzakus B'Kashrus, but Lo Hayu Mukzakus B'Rishos. and he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, then in that case he's allowed, a normal case of a melech means he's allowed up to 18. Shlomo permitted for himself to marry a 19th woman of that category. The only problem we're going to have is when we get to Bas Paro. That's when Shlomo Melech really dips below any... Now I want you to fast forward to page Shin Yud Aleph, the bottom right. Just one second. I'm sorry, I have two copies of Shin Yud Aleph. To Shin Yud Beis. Now, in order to appreciate Shin Yud Beis, we go back to the Gemara on Daf Chaf Aleph, in that section which is the wide lines, and see if you could find a line that starts with the word Maisa Hoyala. So if you're counting up from the bottom of the page, it's approximately 15 lines up, if that helps anybody. Anyway, Vaksiv, the Pasuk says, Vayikach David Od Pilagshim V'Noshim Yerushalayim. How could it be that he went beyond the number that he was allotted? And the answer is, he didn't go beyond the number, but rather Lemilui Shmonasri. In other words, Nasan Anavi met, he encountered David in Hebron. In Hebron, David had already married by that time six wives. And now Nasan says you can marry another six and another six. Kahena v'kahena. By the time we get to Yerushalayim, this is later in David Amel's career, at that point he had married other wives, and he had made up Lemilui, he had been Mashlim, he made up the difference between 6 and 18. So far, so good. So the Gemara asks, is the first word in the line is my, if you see that line. My Noshim Umay Pilagshim. What does it mean that David married, number one, a category called Noshim, and number two, a category called Pilagshim? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Noshim b'ksuba u'b'kiddushin, pilagshim b'lo ksuba u'b'lo kiddushin. Now I have a footnote here that there's a different girsa in the Gemara, and that girsa, based on a Rashi in Chumash, in Parshas Chayisara, when Avram marries Pilagshim, Rashi says below ksuba. Rashi doesn't have below kiddushin. But let's I don't want to confuse you. Let's just start with our girsa, which is the Rambam's girsa, and that means that David HaMelech married both Noshim, which means with Kiddushin, and with Ksuba, and he also married Pilagshim, which means below Ksuba u'below Kiddushin. So we're going to ask two questions here. The first question is, well, what is a Pilagish? If there's no Ksuba and there's no Kiddushin, so what is her status? And secondly, we're going to ask the question whether or not David HaMelech would be allowed to marry Pilagshim, and apparently he was allowed to marry Pilagshim. Is that simply because he's the king, or any person, even a hedgehog, somebody who's not a king, is allowed to marry a Pilagish? So Jerry, I said to you before, you know, too much is too much, but maybe if it's just a Pilagish, maybe it's not a problem. So that's going to be a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. So let's start with the Rambam Shita. So you're now on page Shin Yud Beis. Everybody have it? V'hine Rambam v'perek Dalet mihilchus Malachim, halacha Dalet. So in the fourth chapter of Hilchus Malachim, the fourth halacha, the Rambam talks about the special laws that apply to a melech. And after he enumerates many unique dinim that apply to a melech, he says, v'chein, and furthermore, lokeach michol gvul Yisrael, he's allowed to take for himself wives from all the boundaries within the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, noshim upilagshim. And here's where the Rambam confirms the girsa that we have in our Gemara to differentiate between an isha and a pilagish. Noshim b'ksuba v'kiddushin, upilagshim below ksuba u'below kiddushin. Good. So the Rambam has our girsa, which is makes us feel very comfortable. But now the Rambam addresses, so what is a Pilegish? She doesn't have Kiddushin, she doesn't have Ksuba. What does she have? Ela b'yichud bilvad. Yichud means he designates her. Kona osa, please underline those two words, kona osa, he has a kinyan with her. Umuteres lo, and she is permitted to him, meaning he's allowed to have intimacy with her, but not anyone else. No one else is allowed to do that because he has his own exclusive kinyan, which he achieved through what? Through yichud, just simply by being miyachid her, and he says, you are my pilegesh, that's enough to create a kinyan that excludes everyone else, but he himself is allowed to have relations with his pilegesh. Says the Rambam, and here again you have to underline it twice, avala hejot, someone other than a melech, asur bipilegesh. He's not allowed to marry a pilegesh. By the way, I don't know if you know a little of the history of Rav Yaakov Emden, but one of the most controversial issues in his time was that he wanted to solve the problem of yeshiva bachrim that weren't getting married for whatever reason. They were learning in yeshiva, and the Yetzer Hara was getting the best of them. So he wanted to institute that they could marry a pilegesh. Imagine a yeshiva bachur back in the city of Emden, you know, 5 centuries ago, that has his own personal pilegesh. Rabbi, you free at 11:15?
Yeah, it's great. We're going to sign up. Just come to 11:15, please. We've got about 110 people who've agreed to use the emails and raise a few hundred dollars and all help.
Okay, excellent. He says, "Have a lot of hedge on us, pilegesh." So the hamlatza of Rav Yaakov Emden met with fierce opposition because of the Rambam. The Rambam says explicitly that unless you're a king, there's no heter to marry a pilegesh. The Kesef Mishnah says the following: Beperek Sheni the Sanhedrin, right? The Kesef Mishnah always quotes the source of the Rambam. My noshim and my pilakshim, Om Rav Yehuda Merav, noshim b'ksuva kedushin, pilakshim below ksuva below kedushin. Zui girsa svarm shibiyadenu. That's the text in our Gemara, and that's the text that the Rambam had. The afal pisha rashi kosa beferish haTorah, sof parshas chayisora, pilegesh hi b'kedushin below ksuva. Wow, this is a radical change. Rashi holds that pilegesh has kedushin, she's just lacking in ksuba. Kfar cholak olav shama Ramban. The Ramban in his commentary on Chayisora rejects Rashi. The kosav, and he says that Rashi had the wrong girsa. She girsa amitis, the real, true, genuine text of the Gemara should read pilakshin below ksuba below kedushin. So we have now the Rambam and the Ramban together, based on our girsas, we have it against Rashi. Now, if you know the history, there are many, many super commentaries on Rashi al Torah, and the most important one, no doubt, and especially when it comes to Machlokas Rishonim and to defend Rashi, is the Mizrahi, otherwise known as the Ra'im. And he writes in Chayisora that the Adarabba, the Rambam sheet is a Pella. I don't understand the Rambam sheet. If Pilegesh is without Kedushin, what are we going to do in the case of the Parsha called Pilegesh Begiva, which is a very dark, stained stain on Klal Yisrael's history? But anyway, the Pilegesh there, it says, Vayakam Isha, her husband got up, Vayelech Achreah. Not only that, it also says in the Pasuk, Vayachzeik Bo Chosno, that he has a father-in-law, Avia Nara, who's the father of this girl, that he took as what? As a Pilegesh. Now, how can you call it Vayakam Isha? Meaning his wife. I mean, in this case, it means the husband, right? Isha, because it's a mapik hey. It's really vayokom ish, but the hey means her husband. How can you call him a husband? Well, for example, it says vayachzik bo chosno avianar. How can you call it chosno without ishus, without it some sort of a marriage relationship? You can't call someone a husband to a wife. You can't call someone a chosno. It's got to be al yidei kedushin, right? But yichud means that he designates her for his pilegesh, but there's no ishus. That doesn't make her into an isha. So what do we do with this argument of the Mizrahi to support Rashi? That's fine, but what are we going to do in defense of the Rambam? So the Gemara Yitzchak says the following: Ulam haRambam kosav, that not only is there yichud, but it says be yichud bilvad kona osa. Remember, I asked you to underline those words, kona osa. Umevur Mizeh, we see clearly from the Rambam that even though Pilegesh does not have Kiddushin, but nevertheless there is a Kinyan. And that Kinyan is enough to be classified as Ishus. And the Chiddush here in Pilegesh is he doesn't need one of the three major methods of Kinyani Ishus of Kiddushin, which would be Keser Shtar Bia. But Yichud is enough. But Yichud, in the case of Pilegesh, accomplishes what Kesef Shtar Ubiya accomplishes in the case of Mikudeshes. Namely, she becomes Knuya B'Kinyan Ishus. So, for example, we ask the question, why is someone else not allowed to have a relationship with this woman who's a Pilegesh to somebody else? And the answer is because it's Kinyan Ishus. She's already taken. She belongs to someone. And this is the new category called Pilegesh, that even though a normal woman for Ishus requires Kiddushin, Kesar Shtarabia, in the case of Pilegesh, you can create that Kinyan Ishus of Pilakshus with Yichud alone. And if that be the case, it makes sense that he's called the husband of a wife because she is his wife through Kinyan Ishus. Again, it's a Kinyan Ishus that's generated by Yichud, but nevertheless, it's a Kinyan Ishus. And her father is called Chosno. The Ra'em in the next paragraph brings other proofs from the Medrash that a Pilegesh is more than just a woman that he can have relations with. And as Rashi says, she already had Kiddushin. From the case of Avshalom, Avshalom has a relationship, according to the Tanakh, with Pilatshe Aviv, with David's Pilegesh. Now, if Pilegesh means below Kiddushin, according to the Rambam, why does the Medrash call Avshalom guilty of Gili Arayis? Now, there was a Talmud Chacham at the time of David and Avshalom named Achitofel, and he allowed Avshalom to marry the Pilegesh of his father David. And the Medrash says that this Achitofel was Mater Gili Arayis. Why is that Gili Arayis? Let's say, for example, a man has a relationship with a woman outside of the bounds of marriage. He rapes her, or he seduces her, and now his son wants to marry that woman. Is his son allowed to marry that woman? The answer is yes. Why? Because this woman was never married to his father. So that why is Achitofel considered Mater Gili Arayis by allowing Avshalom to have a relationship with the Pilegesh of David? The Pilegesh of David, according to the Rambam sheet, is nothing more than Anusas Aviv or Mefutas Aviv. They may have had an intimate relationship. And once again, we're going to give the same answer in the next paragraph. Ulam, if we clarify that according to the Rambam, through Yichud, by designating this woman as a Pilegesh, Yeshlo Kinyone Ishus, then we can say that all these Midrashim who speak about Gili Arayis, what they mean is that this is considered the wife of his father. Why? Because David HaMelech, by designating a woman as his Pilegesh, he is now Kona HaBekinyan Ishus through Yichud, and that is the Kinyan Ishus of Pilegesh. And therefore the father, in this case David HaMelech, has a Kinyan Ishus with this woman called his Pilegesh. If that be the case, then as far as Aviv is concerned, meaning you're not allowed to have a relationship with a wife who was married to your father, your father's wife, this is considered your father's wife. As we said before, because according to the Rambam, through this designation of Yichud, he acquires a Kinyan Ishus. And therefore we can always defend the Rambam against the Ra'em's objections by repeating over and over again what the Rambam says about Pilegesh, that through Yichud, he's Kona Osa, he has a Kinyan Ishus, and therefore there's going to be a din of Eishes Aviv, or for example, we could talk about Isha, we could talk about Chosno. All this is going to fit into beautiful place if you hold that a Pilegesh is acquired with a Kinyan Ishus. Now what I'd like you to do is to fast forward to the paragraph that starts on the bottom of your page, Vehine HaRamban. There's a tshuva in the Ramban that he writes that Pilegesh Asur Lehejot. how could it be that the Rambam holds that the only license to marry a woman in a Pilegish relationship is the kingly monarchy license? Kalev and Gidon and many, many other Gedol Yisrael, they all married Pilagshin. None of them had the status of a Melech. And this is the Ramban's argument against the Rambam. So again, on the one hand, the Rambam and the Ramban are on one page. They both agree that the definition of a Pilegesh is a woman who does not have neither Kiddushin nor Ksuba. It's only Yichud and so forth. But here's where we have a machlokas, and the Rambam and the Ramban part ways. Whereas the Rambam says a Pilegesh is only muteris to whom? To a Melech. The Ramban in his tshuva claims that a Pilegesh is muteris l'chol adam. So getting back to Rav Yaakov Emden 5 centuries ago, when he wanted to suggest that solution to the problem of Yeshiva Bachrim, he would be standing on the shoulders of the Ramban against the Rambam. But l'chora, the Rambam is a pella, because we find throughout Jewish history in Tanakh that the Gedolei Yisrael married Pilagshim, and they weren't malachim, they weren't kings. If Chasen Dovel Melech, then according to the Rambam, every hedgehog could marry a Pilegesh, right? Because he's a Melech. Now, the balance of this essay, which goes on and on for many pages, I only gave you, I think, did I give you Shin Yud Gimel?
Yes.
Oh, so what we can accomplish is maybe half of this essay, because the essay goes all the way up to Shin Tes Zayin, that's another 5 pages. But we hope to accomplish at least part of this essay. And that begins with the words Vehinei HaRambam. He's going to try to defend the Rambam Shita and explain how all these people married Pilagshim, even though they weren't what? They weren't kings. Hinei HaRambam, the Perek Aleph Mehilchas Ishus, Halacha Dal. The Rambam says that before Matan Torah, a person could meet a woman in the marketplace, and if they're both consulting adults, he could pair, and he could have Be'ilu with her. And then he could drop it, and just go on his own merry way. Today, now that the Torah was given, Zui Nikreis Kedesha, and the Torah says, "Lo tia kedesha mibnos Yisrael." So, if a man, has this free love relationship with a woman, a Jewish woman, then after the Torah was given, he violates the iser of having a relationship with a kedesha. And he says the following: "Leficha kol aboel isha l'shem znus." The Rambam says any sexual relationship out of the framework of marriage is lokim, and a Torah gets malchus for that because he has a relationship with a kedesha. And the Ravid says this is not true. Ein kedesha ela mizumenes. A kedesha means a woman who's a professional prostitute. That's what she does. On the next page, top of Shin Yud Gimel, she's mufkeres l'chol adam. If a woman has a relationship with one man and she intends to have an ongoing relationship with one man, then that's not a violation of kedesha. Not only that, the Ravid goes one step further. V'hiya pilegesh haksuva b'torah. And this is the pilegesh that a person that was permitted by the Torah itself. And he goes back to the girsa of our Gemara. He says, yesh svam shekosim ben pilagshim kiddushin below ksuva. Whose girsa was that, if you happen to remember?
Rashi.
That was Rashi in Chumash, in Parshas Chayisara. And the Ravid apparently accepted that girsa. And he said that if Pilegesh has Kedushin, she doesn't have Ksuba. He says, Mikomakom, Ein Isur Lav El B'Mizamenes Asma L'Chol Adam. The only time the Torah prohibits you to have a relationship with a Kedesha is a woman who has opened herself up to any man. She's willing to have a relationship with any man. Whereas the Rambam says that even if she wouldn't have a relationship with any man, even if she would be, designated, she would be self-designated for one particular man, nevertheless it comes onto the law of Kedeshus. So now the question is, what do we do with a Melech? A Melech is a marriage relationship, so to speak, but there's no kiddushin and there's no ksuba. And you'll tell me, well, the melech is allowed to have a relationship with this woman called a pilegish because she's miyuchedes, she's designated to him. But the Rambam just said that if a woman is designated and it's there was no kiddushin, right? Is that called a bi'ilas znus, right? Let's go over the Rambam's language. The Rambam's language was that habol isha below kiddushin lo kemen haTorah. So how are you going to allow it for a melech? Is everybody on the page here? Because we're about to drop a bomb, but I want you to appreciate where we're coming from. Again, the Rambam writes that the isha lav of kiddusha applies whenever a woman is having a relationship with a man and there's no kiddushin. Even if she's miyuchedes elav, she's designated for him to the exclusion of any other man, it still becomes kiddusha. If that be the case, then how do we understand the Rambam's leniency in the case of a melech? The melech is having a relationship with a woman without kiddushin. That's the Rambam's girsa and that's our girsa. And even if she's miyuchedes elav, she's designated for him and only for him. She will not be willing to be mafkir herself and have a relationship with any other man. Nevertheless, it's a violation of the law of kiddusha because there was no kiddushin, and the Rambam identifies Pilegesh as a woman who doesn't have kiddushin. And now in this paragraph, he quotes the Rivash. And based on this Rivash, he's going to, in a sense, drop a bomb. And he says the following. If you go back to the Rambam that we started with on the previous page, the Rambam lists all of the king's rights and his special broad scope of his authority and so forth. And on that list, he says, Lokeach michol gvul Yisrael, noshim upilagshim. He can take from all of Israel wives and pilagshim. Pilagshim below ksuba below kiddushin. Says the Rivash that even though you and I are not allowed to have a relation with a Pilegesh, because according to the Rambam Shita, she would be a Kedesha, even though she's Miucheres, because there was no Kedushin, the Rambam says in the case of Pilegesh. But Shiny Melech is different. Why? This is a whole chapter in Sefer Shmuel. It says, Vespino Sechem Yikach, which means he can take your daughters whether you like it or not. That's his kingly prerogative. The kevan sheyesh lemelech rishus likach noshim v'pilagshim kirtzono me'asher yivchar. So the king has the prerogative to take a woman as a wife or as a pilegish just because of his own desire to do so. It's his personal authority, private authority. Is im kein lo nechshavo lezona. Here the Rambam agrees that this relationship is not that of a kedesha. Again, even though he's having a relationship with her without kiddushin, but michuke hamalucha he's there. Now we have here sort of a tug of war, a kind of a collision. On the one hand, the Torah says that to have a relationship with a woman in which there's no kiddushin, that's like a zona, that's like a kedusha. It's a bias nus. On the other hand, the melech is allowed to take such a woman, and even though there was no kiddushin, he's allowed to have beer with her. How do we reconcile this? The answer is because with regard to a melech, we have new dinim which are called chukei amalucha. In other words, if she would resist and refuse to have this relationship when the king has chosen her, then she's considered rebellious. So the Rivash allows a melech to have this relationship and intimacy with a woman outside of the framework of marriage, of kiddushin, under the law of Mishpatei HaMelucha, under the Parashas HaMelech. Because the Torah says that if I was the Torah, I would say, I'm going to give you, as a king, the rights to take any woman that you want, either as a full-fledged wife or as a Pilegesh. Those are the rights of the king. And the Gevurah Yitzchak, at the end of this paragraph, Vehine, he summarizes the Rivash, and he says that Heter Pilegesh LeMelech, the reason why a melech is allowed to have this relationship with a pilegesh, b'li kiddushin, according to the Rambam, is derived from mishpatei ha-melech, that just like the melech has a schus to take women as his wives, he also has a schus, he has monarchical rights to take pilagshim And it's also bal kocha, it's against the will of the woman. She doesn't have to agree. And that right that the Torah granted to the king is mafkia, it removes and undermines the halacha of bias nus. So it's really fascinating. Now, in the bulk of this article, the Gvuras Yitzchak is going to try to offer an alternative interpretation of the Rambam to explain why there's no Iser Kedeshus in the case of a Melech. And the answer is because the Rambam holds that Kedesha, although there was no Kedushin, is not just a Hefker, you know, kind of a free love relationship, but rather he was Miyachid her. And the Rambam holds that as a result of Yichud, he was Kona Osa, he acquires a Kinyan Ishus. And that Kinyan Ishus is antithetical to Kedeshus. Kedeshus and the love of Lo Yeh Kadesh Nosol only applies when there's absolutely no Ishus. So the Chiddush of the Parsha Pilegesh is that we can lower the standards of Ishus, have an Ishus on a lower flame, which was not generated by Kesef Shtar Abir by Kedushin, and yet the Torah is going to validate that Ishus relationship as if she were Knuyelo with a Kinyan Kedushin. And that as if is enough to bridge the gap of the Iser Kedeshus. We can now neutralize the love of Kedesha in this case. Why? Because there is a Kinyan Ishus, and if there is a Kinyan Ishus, then it's not a Kedesha. Kedesha is a woman to whom he has no connection whatsoever, no Kinyan Ishus whatsoever. Here, in the case of Pilegesh, there is a Kinyan Ishus. So now what opens up in front of our eyes are two different mahalchim to understand the Rambam. How is the Rambam going to justify a Melech taking a Pilegesh without Kedushin when that's a violation of Kedeshus, even though she's miyuchedes elo? And we have one answer according to the Rivash, and that's Mishpatei HaMelech. He has a schus to take women into his harem, so to speak, even if it's a Pilegesh without Kedushin. And that schus is Mafkia, the Iser of Kedeshus. The other way of saying it is that this is not Kedeshus because he, through Yichud, through designation, he now has created a Kinyan Ishus with this woman who's called a Pilegesh. And the Kinyan Ishus undermines the Kedeshus of a kind of a Znus relationship. It's no longer Znus. So what's going to be the nafkamina between these two Mahalchim and the Rambam? If we go with the first Mahalach, then only a king is allowed to marry a Pilegesh because it's Midin Mishpatei HaMelech. But if we go with the second interpretation, that this is not Kedesha because he was Miyachin her and he effectuated a Kinyan Ishus of Pilagshus, then Lechora, the Rambam should allow that not just for a Melech, but for anyone, any rank and file citizen. Why? Because if that's what Yichud accomplishes in the case of Pilegesh, and it makes her Knuyalo Bekinyan Ishus, and that's antithetical to Kedeshus, then what's to prevent a Hedjot who's not a Melech from taking a Pilegesh? So that's what we're up to here in the development of this essay. Okay then? So Lynette will try to see if we can finish this up. Not this week, but maybe next week. So I thank everyone for joining me today, and I hope you got a lot out of it, as I did.